Hey everyone, I'm back, I'm alive. I know I've been gone for a little while, but I hope that you all enjoyed the podcasts that I did upload last week. You know, what I was able to upload last week, the Joshua study, then also a study in Nehemiah that I taught at my adult Sunday school class a couple weeks ago. But I'm back. I'm not going away. There will be some changes, though, to this podcast going forward now. I'm still going to be doing this podcast every week, and I'm going to be dedicated to it. We're going to be doing our best to now expand this podcast and sort of reach a larger audience. I'm going to be active now, more active on social media, and I'm going to be having a buddy of mine help me and assist me in all of this. Just with, you know, when it comes to getting this podcast out there more. Pretty soon I'll have a YouTube channel up and running for this podcast, and so we'll be able to get this out more to hopefully a larger audience. And I'm going to be more active now on Instagram, posting reels and, you know, stories and different things. I've always had an Instagram account. I just was never really active on it. I was one of those people who, you know, back in the day, I made myself an Instagram account and that was just it. You know, I just kind of let it sit there. But now I'll be more active on Instagram. And so I'll go ahead, I'll post a link to my Instagram account in the episode description for today's episode. And you can go ahead then and follow me on Instagram. But I've been talking with my friend who is going to be helping me in managing this podcast ministry, and we agreed that for the sake of my own mental health, and also for the sake of having a better sense of continuity for the show in general, there are going to be some changes to the frequency that I post content on this podcast each week, and also what type of content exactly that I post. And what we've come up with is I'm going to pretty much be posting content twice a week. One topical study, and then one teaching that I've recorded from my church. Now, on my off seasons at the church, when I don't happen to be teaching any Bible studies, I'll just then post two topical Bible studies a week that are both specifically made and tailored for this podcast. And so, either way, that's the plan. And so next week, well, not next week, this week, we're starting up that new schedule as far as what we're going to be posting and the frequency and so forth. And so Mondays and Thursdays will be the day where we have content posted up on this podcast. So I'm not really doing a mornings devotional show anymore. We'll just be having two Bible studies a week. But I think that in the long run, this is the best decision for myself. And for the sake of indeed wanting to continue this podcast long term, we want to continue to post content for a long time. And the goal is, of course, to bring the Word of God to as many people as we possibly can. And on that note, today, I want to talk about the intercession of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. We have intercessors in both. And I believe this can serve as a great encouragement to us. And I'll try my best to provide practical reasons as to why that is. But I first want to direct your attention to chapter 22 in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And starting from verse 24, we read that a dispute also arose among them, among the disciples, as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And then in verse 31, interestingly, Jesus suddenly directs his attention to Peter. And he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Now, first we see here that the disciples at the dinner table were arguing over who is considered to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, that messianic kingdom that most of the disciples thought would be inaugurated immediately upon the first coming of the Messiah. Even at this point, at the Last Supper, they thought that Jesus soon would be inaugurating that kingdom age upon this earth. And so they thought that they'd be ruling and reigning upon the Gentiles with Jesus. And so we see that this is an argument that the disciples would have every so often. Who would be the greatest within Jesus's kingdom on this earth? Who would have the greatest status of rulership when they were ruling alongside Jesus in the messianic kingdom age? The other synoptic gospels indeed document this as being the case, the fact that the disciples would frequently have arguments over this. And so Jesus heard this argument at the Last Supper, at the dinner table. And when he heard it, he turned to them and he corrected them and he said, "Hey, don't be like the Gentile kings who are concerned only with exercising their authority over others, but be humble. Those who are humble are the ones who will be exalted in God's kingdom." Jesus indeed said at one point, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But after correcting his disciples at the dinner table, Jesus then turned to Peter and gave him a stern warning. Now that shows us that Peter was likely part of this whole discussion regarding who would be the greatest. As the disciples, you know, were sort of debating this at the table, perhaps Peter was the one who initiated the argument with the other disciples as they were sitting there eating. Jesus is warning Peter because Peter was a guy who, you know, he thought he was too big for his britches. And Jesus says here, "Hey, Simon, be careful. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you." Jesus says, "I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." When we are weak, when we feel like there's no hope in salvaging what we have left of our Christian walk, when we're struggling with heavy-duty sin, when we're struggling in keeping our faith, we want to, you know, you want to hold on to your faith, but you're being bombarded with doubt. And you become stressed over it. You become bewildered. You're trying so hard. No, Lord, I. You start to get nervous even. Am I going to lose my salvation? Lord, I want to have faith in you, but I'm going through all this trial and difficulty, and now I'm starting to doubt that you're there, that you're real even. And you're trying to hold on to the faith, but you just become overwhelmed. You become stressed. Don't worry. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Because Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for your faith. He's praying that you remain strong. Even if you're struggling right now. Even if you're going through doubt. Have confidence that will only before a time. It's temporary. The Lord is going to pull you through. Now, looking at it another way, you maybe haven't been spending much time in prayer yourself. You're caught up with work. You work 50 hours a week. And on top of that, you're struggling with a sinful addiction, perhaps. You don't have the time to check into any rehab program or recovery program or even pastoral counseling because you're working so much and you got to pay the bills and support your family. and you haven't even spent a lot of time in prayer. You're not even praying about it because you can't seem to find the time to pray. And you do feel guilty and bad over this. You feel like it's hopeless, perhaps. And all this clammed together, you know, it's just making you depressed. If that's you today, don't sweat it. Don't let it eat you up alive. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're just a lost cause that won't ever be redeemed. Because you have an intercessor, one who prays for you when you don't have the time to, or when you don't even realize that you should be praying. Maybe you're not caught up in a sinful stronghold, but rather you're in some sort of trial, a difficult situation in your life. Your spouse has been diagnosed with cancer, and it's serious, and they're dealing with all sorts of treatment now, but you still got to go out and work every day and pay the bills and all these things and, you know, take them to doctor's appointments and everything, and, you know, you feel like maybe you should be praying more. You have been praying, you know, it's not like you haven't been praying at all. But some of your friends at church have told you, well, you know, if I were you, I'd be dedicating 2 hours a day at least to praying fervently to God. You know, that's how your husband or your wife will be healed of their cancer, you know. And so you're thinking, man, you know, well, I've been trying hard to make time for prayer every day, but, oh man, maybe I'm not praying enough, I guess. But I'm doing all this other stuff. And I can't find time anymore. You know, I got kids. You know, and so you start to feel guilty. And you're like, oh, Lord, please forgive me for not making even more time for prayer. Lord, I'm sorry. Please don't look over the healing of my spouse. Please don't choose to not heal my spouse because, you know, I haven't dedicated as much time to prayer as other people are saying that I should be. We start to think that way. Hey, don't lose hope. Or think that God's not going to come in and help you in your situation. Because when you don't have time to pray, I believe that we can be very confident that Jesus, and also the Holy Spirit in particular, is praying for us. We're going to get into in a moment the Holy Spirit and his role in prayer specifically, when it comes to praying for us. But first also, let's examine passages relating to Jesus as our intercessor. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And furthermore, then he goes on to say, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But again, he tells us here, you know, yes, Christ has died for us. He has been raised to life and seated on the right hand of God. But he didn't finish there. For he now intercedes for us on our behalf. And this is why we are then able to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Now you see, Hebrews 7:23-28 tells us, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, Jesus' intercession revolves around defending us before a God of judgment. Through his death and resurrection, the price has been paid, and his sacrifice for our sins serves as an intercession for us in and of itself. Because of this, we have been provided with the gift of faith, the opportunity to demonstrate the faith that leads to eternal life. And Jesus, based upon what he tells Peter in the Gospel of John, is praying for us to the Father that we indeed keep that faith. That is why we read in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's interceding on your behalf, that you keep the faith even in your darkest trial. But he's not the only one interceding for us. For if you jump a few passages back in the Romans 8 passage, we read that the Holy Spirit as well is interceding for us, specifically in the area of our prayer life. We read, starting from verse 26, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Often, because of our imperfections and our struggle to fully grasp the entirety of God's will for our lives, we can struggle to pray. We can struggle to know exactly what to pray for in certain situations. And so oftentimes all we can do is lift up our hands and say, Lord, let your will be done. But because the Spirit is one of the persons of the Godhead, the Spirit knows what to pray for. And thus the Spirit is praying for you and is praying for exactly what you need in accordance to God's will. Now again, relating all of this to the concept of not having time to pray, or at least feeling as if you're not praying enough, I do believe that the principle that we get in this Romans 8 passage can be applied to this. Because just as we often are unsure as to exactly how we should be praying for different things, sometimes the case is that we're unsure exactly how much we should be praying. You see, those are similar concepts right there. And if the Spirit is willing to pray for you when you're unsure as to how you should pray, I am confident that the Spirit, who knows the heart and knows our life situation, will pray for us when life gets hectic and when we're trying to make time for prayer, but things in the craziness of our trial and tribulations are preventing us from doing so. Our God is a God of love, and he understands us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Right now, there's a lot going on in many of our lives. Yesterday, of course, was Easter. Happy Easter, by the way, everyone. Hope you all had a great Resurrection Sunday. I forgot to mention anything about Easter as I started this podcast today, but, you know, yeah, Easter was yesterday. But anyhow, Easter is a holiday where most of us spend time with family, friends, loved ones, for Easter dinner and so forth. But perhaps this Easter you didn't really get to enjoy a lot of time with your family. Because maybe you're experiencing a trial, a difficulty. Maybe it's something that you've been praying about for a long time. And you still haven't gotten a resolution to it yet. And you feel at this point, well, God's heard my prayer, so it's better I just leave it in His hands, right? Well, that might not be a bad idea. Because the Holy Spirit will continue to pray. Leave it in the Holy Spirit's hands. He'll continue to pray for you. And Jesus is praying for you as well. Jesus is interceding so that your faith will not fail in this trial, whatever it might be. I personally, right now, I'm currently in a little bit of a painful situation in that I've been hurt by someone in my life. Another brother in Christ has hurt me. And it's something that has stemmed back a couple of years now. But the situation has just continued and, you know, it's reached a state where it hasn't necessarily gotten worse, but it also hasn't gotten any better. I do believe that this person has wronged me to an extent. And I've prayed fervently that the situation changes, that his heart changes. I've prayed about the situation from multiple angles. You know, I've covered every angle in regards to the situation. And I've prayed for multiple different things because it's a complicated circumstance. You know, praying things like, well, Lord, can you do this or that or change his heart in this way and so forth. But I'm honestly at the point now where I'm not sure what I should pray for anymore. You know, at this point, all I can really do is leave it in the Holy Spirit's hands. Because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray for. So I have that faith that the Spirit's got it covered. And if the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, as we read in James chapter 5, how much more the effectual fervent prayer of the Holy Spirit? So do you have that faith that the Spirit's got you covered? Do you have that faith that the Spirit knows what to pray for? Do you feel confident that you can entrust your prayers over to Him? When you don't know what to pray for anymore, or just, you know, you feel like just honestly, perhaps as a human being, you just feel like you can't invest any more time and energy into praying for a particular thing. Hey, sit back, relax, know that the Spirit has you covered. He's praying for you. And Christ is interceding before the throne of God on your behalf so that you maintain the faith in full strength. And with all that in mind, we can, as the psalmist said, lie down in peace as we go to sleep. Because the Lord Himself makes us to dwell in safety. God bless all of you. This has been Pastor Adam. I guess we could call this, I don't know, Pastor Adam's weekly devotional talk. I really don't know what to call this. We'll figure it out as we go forward now. But I'll go ahead and post up our next Joshua study this Thursday. And then I'll talk to all of you guys directly again next Monday morning. So have a good week, everybody, in the Lord.